This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Coming up, Fantasia Barrino first won fame for her big singing voice on American Idol, but now she's flexing her acting chops. She tells us about starring in the stage adaptation of The Color Purple. That conversation in just a few minutes. But first, a new development in a story we originally talked about on Monday. The parents of children who were disinvited from a swim club in suburban Philadelphia have signaled plans to file a lawsuit, despite the fact that the swim club owners say they want the kids to come back. This all started back in June when the Valley Club in Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania, decided to revoke an agreement they had made with Creative Steps Daycare Center to let the children enrolled at the center swim there once a week. The club managers later said their concern was overcrowding, but the children report they were subjected to racial remarks from club members, and the club's manager had also issued a statement saying the children were changing the complexion and atmosphere of the pool, end quote. This weekend, the club invited the children back, as we said, but the parents of the children and the daycare operators say they don't want to go back, and they're planning to pursue legal action. Well, all this, as you might imagine, opens up a whole new set of issues, many of which are playing out in the blogosphere and on discussion boards. What does this say about how our country and communities are handling racial issues? What message are the kids getting from all this? To talk more about this, we've called Annette John Hall. She's a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and she's been covering this story. Also with us is Luke Visconti. He's the co-founder of Diversity Inc. magazine, and we call upon him from time to time to talk about diversity issues. They're both with us. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Michelle.
Thanks for having me, Michelle.
So, Annette John Hall, why don't we just go to the bottom line? Lawsuit, good idea, bad idea?
Well, I don't think it's a good idea, because if we're going to have any kind of racial progress in this country, we have to do what President Obama says and unclench our fists. The fact of the matter is the swim club reinvited the kids, which was the right thing to do. And, plans for filing a lawsuit will just make the whole situation intractable and no progress is made.
Why do you say that?
Well, I say that because...
Because one would argue lawsuits are our way of saying, let's take it outside. We're not resolving this.
But,
it is a vehicle. It is a legitimate civil forum for resolving disputes.
It certainly is, and I totally agree with you, especially during the civil rights movement. Litigation was a powerful tool. But that was for institutions that were segregated and did not allow African Americans in. In this case, the swim club reinvited the children, opened the club up to the children. And so, to me, in this situation, forgiveness is the most powerful tool.
Luke Visconti.
It's a power.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I wanted to bring
Luke.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Michelle.
That's okay. We forgive each other. Luke, let's bring Luke into this, and then I'll come back to you.
Sure.
Luke, what do you say? As I understand it, you say bring on the lawsuit.
I think that it's part of how we do business in the United States. We have a rule of law, and the courts are there to adjudicate disputes like this or disagreements. And I think that if the swim club president or chairman had said, look, I really used a bad choice of words. It was offensive. I apologize. Please come back and let me do better. I don't think this would have gotten to this point, but they were recalcitrant. They didn't apologize correctly. It was, half measures and then finally an invitation to come back. And I think if those parents want to take the swim club to court, that's a good thing to do. It's a structured way of resolving disagreements.
And it's not, Luke, I'm going to press you on this. It is certainly an acceptable thing to do. They are well within their rights. But you said it's a good thing to do. Why is it a good thing to do?
It sets a good example. And I think that the next time somebody wants to make a statement, maybe they'll think a little bit. It's in 2009. To hear somebody say, oh, well, we didn't want the kids going to change the complexion. It's like, wow, has nothing really changed? Or are we still dealing with some bedrocks of people that want to keep things the way they were? And I don't know this man. I don't know the swim club. But wow, was that a bad apology? And I think a lawsuit wakes up people to the fact that there are repercussions to not thinking about your actions. And that's what this is all about.
As you might imagine, this issue has been extensively covered in the media, and it's getting a lot of attention on the blogs and on the discussion boards. And we came across a discussion on TheRoot.com. It's an online publication that focuses on the African-American experience. We found a blogger who goes by the name of Seiko, and he says he generally supports the Creative Steps position, but he doubts the value of a lawsuit. And this is what he had to say. Here's a short clip.
I'm not sure that any litigation against the Valley Club would be anything more than therapeutic. You can win the courtroom, but that's not attacking the roots of the bigotry that was exposed. Ultimately, there has to be some sort of change in people's attitudes and beliefs, and you can't get that through winning a court case. My fear is that the children will somehow develop a belief that litigation always is the best solution to problems. I'm not sure what the long-term consequences of that are, but it certainly won't help with reconciliation or bringing people together.
The other point that a number of the bloggers made, Luke, is that this kind of teaches the children to stay rooted in a victim mentality, as opposed to, and then I'm going to come back to you as well, on this whole question of maybe they could be the bigger people, and that you could teach them to master the experience by being the bigger party. And so, Luke, what do you say to that?
I still didn't hear the apology that was necessary for me if I were going to send my daughters back to this swim club for me to feel comfortable. If it were heartfelt from the heart and said, well, I really used a bad choice of words here. People mess up all the time. We understand that. I would accept a good apology or do so all the time. This wasn't a good apology. The statements weren't good. The whole thing was mishandled. And, you know, a victim rolls over and doesn't do anything about a provocation or a slight or a wrong. It's not a victim mentality to take people to go to court. And by the way, isn't that a good thing in this country? We have a rule of law that if you have a disagreement, you don't show up on somebody's front step and punch them in the mouth. You take them to court. You handle things civilly in a judge in a courtroom with rules. I think that's a fine thing to teach children. You should stand up for what's right and wrong, and you should take it. And if you have to take it to the next level, take it to court. Don't take matters in your own hands. Don't be your own judge and jury. Take it to court. That's what it's there for. I think it's a great lesson in civil justice.
Annette John Hall, what about that? The parents, the daycare operators, are teaching the children to play by the rules that they have of this dispute, to address it respectfully and through the laws. What do you say about that?
Well, I just think that legally, well, this is a murky case. I don't know that they could win this, because the swim club did disinvite two other camps for what they say are security reasons. Those camps were racially diverse, and lots of white campers in those camps. So legally, I don't know if they can win. But the real question to me, Michelle, is what are we teaching our children? Just like racism is taught, forgiveness can be taught too. Forgiveness and reconciliation. I think that is the bigger lesson here. To show our children that we can move on from this, that we can forgive, that all people aren't as evil as they're made out to be, as well as children aren't as threatening as people make them out to be. So I think that we have to keep our focus on the children. Don't let the adults allow this to become an intractable situation with prolonged legal battle, and think about what's the real lesson we can teach our children.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Annette John Hall. She's a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and Luke Visconti of Diversity, Inc. And we're talking about the decision of the Creative Steps Daycare Center to seek legal action against the Valley Club. That's the private swim club in suburban Philadelphia that had initially agreed to host a group of daycare campers and then rescinded that decision. They said that initially that it was that these campers were changing the complexion of the club, but then they later said that there were safety or reasons involved. The club says that they would like to invite the children back, but the parents say they don't want the children to go. Also on the route, there was a blogger who goes by the name of Freaky Deaky, and he wrote in to say, and I don't know the demographic of the individual involved, but I'm just quoting what the blogger writes. He says, "So is this how you would like future generations of blacks to respond every time they're slighted for their skin color? It makes us look weak and juvenile. Even if we are victims of their racism, they don't deserve the pleasure of this kind of reaction. Yet we give it to them every time and let the media goad us into doing it." So, Luke, what's your thought about
that? Yeah, I hear the statement, but, you know, again, this is a choice that people can make. I would, if I were to go back and say, hey, John Dusler, the guy who's the president of the Valley Swim Club, you still have a chance here. When you get to court, they're going to ask you to mediate this. That's going to be the first thing the judge is going to say. Can you please sit down with this mediator and see if you could do it? And then if he sat down, and he looked those parents in the eye and said, "I am really sorry. I used a very bad choice of words. It was offensive. And I'm so sorry. And please come back to the swim club so you can give me a chance to really be a good person and to make amends." I don't know that the parents would be so unreasonable as to say, "Well, okay then. You know, that's fine. If the apology is deemed acceptable by the people who were wronged, then you move forward." This is a chance here for, I think, for people to address things that went wrong. And I don't, I think you fight for, you know, what you believe in within the legal context. And I don't think it's okay to tolerate this kind of behavior from people that would, you know, turn children away. I just don't get
that. As I understand it, just briefly, Luke, I understand that the club manager who made those offensive comments has offered to resign. Does that do anything for you?
Well, I think that would be unfortunate. He made an unfortunate comment. I don't think he's a bad guy from what I've read up on him. I mean, he just made a really bad choice of words. And, you know, I think he has an opportunity here to correct himself and to cast his swim club in a better light. He's in a position of responsibility. I don't think resigning is the right way to go. I mean, if he was an overt bigot with examples of bigotry and this was just a final, you know, culminating factor that made it into the press, that would be one thing. All indications are, from what I've read, he's an okay guy. Just made a really bad choice of words. Time to make a correct apology.
And that, what about Luke's point that real repentance requires contrition and that real reconciliation requires an authentic desire to reconcile, not just to paper over? And what Luke is saying is he doesn't see the indication here that there's a real recognition that something wrong was done as opposed to that, you know, they got caught. It was inconvenient. Mm-hmm. It's not convenient mm-hmm. for the club. It puts the club in a bad light. But that real reconciliation requires an authenticness on the part of both parties, an authentic desire to reconcile. And he mm-hmm. doesn't see it here. What do you say to that?
Sometimes the desire comes when you realize what you've done wrong. Mm. Now, I can totally understand Mrs. Wright's, that's the camp director, reluctance to try to talk to Mr. Dusler right now because she doesn't feel like he was truthful with her. And you cannot have reconciliation without truth. She feels like his comments about the security issue were disingenuous at best because he knew how many children were coming to the pool. He cleared it with his board. And for someone to describe a security issue as complexion and atmosphere, the guy has a problem with language. Why couldn't he just have said, "We have a security issue"? So she feels like he was disingenuous, and he was. Anybody can see that here was a pretty decent guy who caved to his membership, who weren't aware that the Black and Latino children were coming. So I can totally understand that. But sometimes you know, behavior is forced to change. I always go back to the civil rights movement. You know, there the behavior was forced to change. And then people started to reconcile because they had no other choice. I go to the South now, Michelle, and I see Black and white people getting along better than some places in the North, like some places in Philadelphia neighborhoods. And that was due to forced behavioral change.
Do we have any sense in it? Forgive me, of how the other the kid, you mentioned that there were two other clubs whose agreements were also daycare centers, rather, or groups of children whose agreements with the Valley Club were also revoked. Do we have any sense of how they were treated by the club members? I mean, I remember there was this particularly heartrending interview with a young boy who said one of the African American children who said he saw his math teacher at the club and waved at her, and she ignored him and gave him a very cold, it kind of turned away from him coldly, and how hurt he was by that. Do we have any sense of how the other kids were treated?
You know, I don't even know that the other kids even spent a day there. I know that the Creative Steps campers spent one afternoon there.
Before the agreement was revoked. And so you were thinking that the other agreements were revoked subsequently after they decided to withdraw. Well, we only have
That's
two minutes left, and I'd love to hear from each of you briefly. I'd like to hear from each of you, what would you hope would come from all this? Luke and then Annette, I'm going to give you the final word. Luke first.
I think that when they get to court, that I think then you'll hear the heartfelt apology. And I'm a fairly litigious guy, and I've taken people to court, and it's always fun to see the air go out of the person that you're taking to court, and the bluster all goes away, and they look at you and they go, "Well, I'm really sorry. I really messed up." And you go, "Okay, now that's good enough." And you move on. And that's what I hope happens. I hope they get their heartfelt apology, and then whatever restitutions do will happen, and they can negotiate that.
Annette, what do you hope will come from all this?
Well, I just hope that it doesn't get to that. I hope that both people can move forward. And I hope that this can be a teachable moment. I wish that the camp would have decided to come back, because then it would have been a teachable moment for our children to show that we can move beyond slights, that we can, you know, progress together, African Americans, whites, blacks, everyone, without having to just take intractable positions.
Annette John Hall is a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. She joined us from Philadelphia. Luke Visconti is the co-founder of Diversity, Inc., and he joined us from member station WBGO in Newark. If you want to read the article that we're talking about, and we'll have links to both of our guests, we'll have that on our website. That's the Tell Me More page at npr.org. I thank you both so much.
Thanks, Michelle.